straight out of Austin, Texas. It's On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com, with your hosts, Statesman sports columnists Cedric Golden and Kirk Bowles. Often imitated, never duplicated. Hear it here first, On Second Thought.
On Second Thought. This is episode 328, brought to you by Hook'em.com, our good friends at Bud Light. Cedric Golden here with the Duck. Kirk Bowles and Duck, we got a pod that's chock full of highs and lows. Let's start with the highs. We've got NFL Combine. Texas guys showed out there. Texas women's basketball rolling. Softball rolling. And then we got men's basketball, stubbed his toe, and David Pierce has problems over at the dish. Major, major problems. Let's start with the NFL Combine. How much did you really watch, Doug? Because I know I watch more of it than you do.
I didn't watch any of it. I watched the highlights. At the end of the day, I like it to break it down for me. I'm too busy to watch the Combine when you don't really have a dog in the hunt. So I just
you had some Longhorns in the hunt.
Did we ever? 11? Have they ever had 11 before? I bet they haven't, have they?
I don't think so. I can't imagine.
No. And
those guys are going to get – and they're all going to get drafted, Doug. All of them are going to get drafted.
You promise?
I believe it. No.
Even Jordan Whittington.
Wow, that's a good one. He didn't work out up there. He's got the hammy, and that probably hurt him. He's going to have to really run fast at the pro timing day. Hopefully he's running on March 20th. He's going to have to run fast and really blow him away drill-wise. He's a football player, but he's got a history of injury. He's got a history of injury, and usually guys that get hurt a lot don't always get drafted. So, but he's a good football player.
He's a special team dream. You know, he can play all special teams. You know, we saw his great play, you know, to force the fumble after the interception. What was that? TCU, Iowa State, which game was that? Remember the deep pass, and he ran all the way back and caused the fumble.
It was TCU.
He was TCU. And then Xavier Worthy, recovered the fumble. So all I know is Jay Witt can play for me because he can be a running back. He could be a receiver. He can be a special teams player. And maybe he wouldn't get drafted, you know, but I would be shocked if he's not on an NFL roster next fall.
I would be too. The big news coming out of the combine, though, Xavier Worthy ran into the record books. He broke John Ross's record, 7-year record of 4.22 by clocking a 4.21, just a blur. And it just seemed like it felt like 3 seconds he was running so fast. He was already trending between, like, as a second round pick, somewhere in the 30s, early to mid second round pick. Does he sneak into the first round, you think, Duck, with that run? I don't know. He didn't do drills, so I'm not sure about that. They already knew he was fast.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't hurt, obviously. The guy can fly like he did, but I'm going to bet he does not go in the first round just because, and tell me if you agree or not, this could be the deepest wide receiver class in history.
They are falling from the sky.
They're everywhere.
There are so many of them. And then there are guys that showed up, the Pearsall kid. There are guys that show up and just dazzle the scouts that have made moves. But you got Marvin Harrison, Roma Dunze, Malik Nabers, and the list Adonai Mitchell.
Ryan Thomas, yes.
Just go down. The list goes on and on.
Coleman at Florida State. They're everywhere. And I really do
think
this could be one of the best wide receiver classes ever, I think, because they're elite. They're not just a bunch of good receivers. They're elite. And I put A.D. Mitchell in there for scoring five touchdowns in five playoff games with Georgia and Texas. Then I would remind our viewers, who was Texas Quinn Ewers throwing to at the end of that Sugar Bowl? It was to
No
A.D.
one. He threw it into the stands.
Mitchell. Now, come on. Quit hating. But yeah, if he'd
He
have drilled
lofted it. He's
D.
being
Mitchell.
drilled that A.D. Mitchell would have caught it. I believe that, man.
Yeah,
I'll go to my
wow.
grave believing that A.D. would have, if he had thrown like a Big Ben type seed to Santonio Holmes like he did against the Cardinals, something online, give him a chance, I think A.D. would have came down with that ball. He just didn't drop passes.
I talked to the Washington DB at the Michigan game and asked him, were you surprised AD didn't jump? Because he's got some big leaps. Had a great vertical at the combine. He said, I think he thought if he jumps, he's going out of bounds because his momentum was carrying him out of bounds. So, and I think he
Just
expected to
got to
get
throw a
hurt.
better. You got to throw a better pass than that.
I know. I don't know if it was just he knows what an athlete he is and I know what a leaper he is, but boy, he's gonna remember that play the rest of his life, both Quinn and AD Mitchell. And he had one drop last year and 86 targets. 86. And
Those are
even though
the guys that get drafted in
because
first
they can
round.
play forever.
Plus, he ran a 4.3. Plus, he runs
And
4.3.
he's 6'2", a physical guy. How many passes did he catch thrown behind him or way over his head that, he
Mostly all of
contorted his body. He contorted his body and made, acrobatic catches. So
them. And
I think he'd
you
be the
know what?
top
I'm
half
not
of the
making
first
this.
round.
Yeah, I'm not making this an X versus A.D. Mitchell. This is just
No.
X. X is obviously the fastest player in the country. But he's 5'10", 165 pounds.
Woo,
And if
160.
you and he looked really skinny. And if you really want to a player comparison that he kind of compares to size-wise, Kevontae Turpin for the Dallas Cowboys is 5'9", like 160 pounds. So
Well, he's
it's
taller than that. But what is Turpin?
he's 1 inch taller.
No,
He's
what
a
is
what?
Turpin?
What? Well,
Turpin's a kick returner.
Turpin's a kick returner, a
A
punt
kick returner.
returner, which X will be dynamic. And
Yeah.
I think X is going to be a great punt returner in the league. And I think in the right situation could be a great receiver. I had a one of my Twitter followers. We had a conversation about it. He goes and he wanted to. He said, "I hope he, basically." Is he just going to be a DeSean Jackson type? And I go, he would kill for DeSean Jackson's career. DeSean Jackson had 5 seasons of over 1,000 yards
Oh, yeah.
receiving. And to this day, he's still one of the 10 most dangerous receivers to ever play the game. He was scary good because he was the ultimate deep threat. And they had the game plan for DeSean Jackson. He was not a route tree guy, but he was so fast. And he was one of them. And he had 9 punt kickoff returns for a touchdown in his career. He had 4 rushing touchdowns in his career. And he played 11, pretty much 11 full seasons. DeSean, if X could have that 11,000 yards in his career receiving,
I
you think
guess.
X would take that? You think X would take that?
Does he remind you of DeSean Jackson? Because I've never thought about that comparison. He didn't seem like it to me.
No. I think DeSean Jackson has more wiggle than X. I think X is elusive, and I think X can be in that kind of player. He could be a game changer. I mean, speed kills, Duck. The question is, can he catch the football? And we find out way late that he had a broken hand for the last part of the 2022 season. And he cut his drop rate in half his last season, which is encouraging. But he didn't do on-field drills in Indianapolis. I assume he's going to do it on March 20th here at Texas Pro Timing Day. And Duck and I believe that you're going to see more scouts at this Texas Pro Timing Day than you have in a decade.
Oh, for sure. For
Because
sure.
they've got talent. They've to T'Vondre Sweat looking big and burly, but he ran a 5'2 at 365 pounds. That's amazing that someone that big can run that fast. But you wonder about that weight. I mean, 365 is getting up there. Did you see him, Doug? I don't know if you saw him in the drills. That dude can move. That dude can move. He is very, very he's got the moves. He can move. And but he's 365. And is that gonna be a problem? Do you think they want him closer to 350? Probably at 6'3", 6'4". I would think they'd want him at 350. I see him trending late first, early second. Most of these draft mocks have Byron Murphy the second, top 20 pick, Duck. What a great what that would be great for that kid after, you know, basically being like the second guy they mentioned because T'Vondre won the Outland, but Murphy I think is getting of all the Texas players, Byron Murphy the second is getting the most love as far as who's going to go first.
Well, you had a mouthful there. Let me. Lance Zierlein, the NFL draft analyst, told me that NFL teams are worried about Sweat's size at 366 and worried that it could go even higher. And he's even said he gains weight too easily. I think that works against him, same as 165 pounds works against Xavier Worthy, because you need to be durable, you know, if you're going to play in the NFL. And speed didn't always guarantee success. John Ross from Washington's Exhibit A, you know, first round
Rinaldo
pick.
Nehemiah, John Brown, but
But
those,
John Ross was
but
it. He was the flyer.
John Ross was a football player. These other guys, like Nehemiah, was a track guy. Ron Brown was a track guy.
Well, Devin
I think
Duvernay. He had a
Duvernay is a
great
football. He's a football player,
2 years here, but he hasn't translated into huge success with the Baltimore Ravens yet.
He's a
So,
Pro Bowl returner, but he's not a Pro Bowl receiver yet.
right, and that may be what Worthy is, might be a Pro Bowl returner. So I
I
don't
think
know
he
what.
has an upside as a receiver, Duck. I do.
Oh,
I
for
worry
sure.
about him getting off the line of scrimmage against cornerbacks who are now 6'2", 210 pounds. There's some big corners out there, and even the guys that are 5'10", 5'11", are still bulky guys, strong guys. And are they gonna get up in his mug and try to keep him on the line of scrimmage, or are they going to give him that respect? Because if he gets by him, he's gone.
Yeah, he's
He's
not the most
gone. There's
physical receiver, but he is tough. He's very tough because he took some ungodly hits the last fall. So no, I think he's got a great future as a receiver too. But we all know it's about more than speed. You mentioned Byron Murphy, who's Lance Zierlein again thinks he's the number one D line prospect in the whole draft, and they like him as a pass rusher, a penetrator, while T'Vondre is more of a run stopper. And
Disruptor.
probably not a three down player like Byron Murphy can be. So that increases Byron Murphy's, you know, value as well. So I think he led the team in pass pressures, you know, over T'Vondre Sweat. But T'Vondre was like a brick wall. You couldn't move him, you couldn't run him. So yeah, I think any team would be glad to have both of them. Oh, Jonathan Brooks. How about him? The number one running back, Mel Kiper says. So, and we loved him here, but you know, tearing his ACL against TCU, and everything I'm hearing is they expect him to play, be ready for the season in September. So, he was so impressive, and he kind of made sure there wasn't a big drop off after Bijan Robinson left. So, I was just blown away by how good a year Brooks had, and hope it continues for him.
I was surprised that he ranked that high as number one because he's coming off of such a brutal injury, but the tape doesn't lie. He's got moves and
He's
he's
got
faster
skills.
than you think and he's faster than you think he is. And I hope he brings that speed back. And one thing my rule general rule of thumb about ACLs is I think you see the real player 2 years after that surgery. So
No
he'll play
question.
as a rookie, but I bet his sophomore year in the pros he'll
Oh,
be
definitely.
way better. He'll be
Oh,
way
definitely.
better. Hopefully he gets in a situation where he's with a good veteran running back where he doesn't have to shoulder the load as much.
Did he
The
catch
team
his
that,
pass?
yeah, and when you
Neither.
say that, the team that catches the team that gets him hopefully is a team that likes to throw to the running backs. I don't think the Los Angeles Chargers are going to bring out Austin Eckler back. And I think that would be an ideal situation for Jonathan Brooks.
Be
He's a
perfect.
pass catcher. It's a wide open offense, and they do like to run the football. So they finally fired that idiot Brandon Staley, coach, horrible. Finally fired him. We'll see. We know that Harbaugh loves to run the football. I mean, we saw that with Corum and Edwards this past season. I know that Justin Herbert is a big time thrower of the ball, but Harbaugh's old school. He likes to run to set up the pass. And so I would love to see Jonathan Brooks play for the Chargers. I think that's ideal for him.
Yeah, it would be great. And I'd love to see one of these wide receivers show up with the Kansas City Chiefs and catching passes from Patrick Mahomes, for the next 8 years. I think that'd be really cool to see.
Well, that's my pick. That's my projection.
Mine too.
AD Mitchell to the Chiefs just makes
Yeah.
all the sense. It makes
Perfect.
all the sense.
Hey, what? Let me ask you, one guy I didn't hear anything about was JT Sanders, the Texas tight end. How did he do?
I didn't get to see him either. I didn't get to watch on tight end day, but I did see the rankings afterwards, and he's still running number two to Brock Bowers in the tight end
Wow.
rankings.
Great athlete.
So, he's one of, I mean, people talk about Travis Kelce. He kind of reminds me of Kelce. He's got some wiggle. He can catch the football. He can outrun linebackers. I think he's got a chance to do some great things as a, not, he blocks a little bit, Duck, but they're not going to ask him to block a lot up there. They're going to ask him to catch the ball. So I'm
Well,
looking up his.
you look
Oh,
at
go ahead.
what Sam Laporta did for Detroit Lions as a rookie, takes him to the brink of the Super Bowl, and JT Sanders, could be that kind of guy. It's like tight end. There's been like a golden era for tight ends now. You see him all over the league. I'd love to see him show up in Green Bay catching passes from Jordan Love, I think. But there seems like to be a much better market for tight ends now than there may have been 5 years ago.
Okay, I'm looked up JT Sanders' stats from the combine. His
Yeah.
overall grade for tight ends, Brock Bowers had a 6.75 grade, and he was second at 6.38, which is really good. So
Yeah. He's a great
I'm
player.
looking. Your friend Zerline says his strengths are his size and strength to play through route traffic. He can make leaping catches. He can outrun linebackers across the middle or up the seam. Weaknesses will need to get much stronger for in block, for blocking, inconsistent aggression, taking on bigger opponents, and he allows defenders to play through his base block. So,
Yeah, he's not a great blocker, as you said. He's
no,
not.
and they're not going to ask him that. They're not going to ask him to block much. He ran a 4.69 duck in the 40.
Yeah,
That will work.
that's
That will
plenty
work.
fast enough at that position, no question. But
Oh,
like
yeah.
you say, it's going to be a busy pro day. The draft's going to be fun to watch. Let's move on to basketball because you were there in
Oh, do
Waco.
we have to, Doug? Do we have
Yeah,
to?
you were there, saw the carnage. It was all set up. They get off to this 13-3 lead, hit their first five shots. Tyrese
They could
Hunter
miss.
hitting threes, and not much else after those first two threes, but he just felt like that game would never end. I looked up on television and, they're up by 12 and then it's 10, then it's 8. And I'm thinking, well, maybe they can hold on. And I look up and I go, oh, yeah, it's 10 and a half minutes left. Just didn't have enough firepower to last, especially with the way Jalen Bridges was going off. What'd he get? 32?
I was talking to our buddy Bryce Cherry of the Waco paper, friend of the podcast. Gonna miss dealing with those guys. Doug David Kaye came up to me, the longtime SID, came up to me and he said, "Just wanted to shake your hand and just thank you for all the good times coverage over the years." And it's great. It's a fraternity, and we're not going to be going to Baylor anymore. And I'm going to tell you, that's a great gym. Duck, that Foster Pavilion is lit.
Nice.
It is nice. It is nice. And
Nicer than
so,
Moody.
nicer than Moody. Oh, you could tell Foster was built for basketball. And the Moody was built for concerts, but Moody translates very well to hoops. Foster's, man, and our seats are better, Duck. Our seats were closer to the court than
Really?
they were at the O'Farrell Center, but you're still behind the glass. Great. Just great. But anyway,
Was a good game. It was an exciting game.
they played a near perfect first half, and they were up 8 points at the half. And
56
they
to 10.
played a similar first half against Tech, but Tech's not nearly as good as Baylor
No,
overall. And they
no.
were up 24 against Tech. Baylor found its sea legs. And I'm going to tell you, Scott Drew did a masterful job of working those refs in the first half because they got the calls in the second half. And Rodney Terry, none too pleased about the free throw disparity. The Horns shot 21 free throws, and the Baylor Bears shot 42,
Yeah.
27 free throws in the second half, Doc. And
That'll win you a lot of games.
that's a recipe for a loss for Texas. If I told you that the Texas Longhorns shot 50% from the field and 86% from the line and had only five turnovers and 15 assists and got 33 points from Max Asmus, don't you think they won that game?
Won by 20. Probably won by 20. The difference is they didn't have Dessou the last 11 minutes. And,
They
you
didn't
know,
really have Dessou the first 11 minutes. Duck, he
exactly.
didn't have it. He was sick.
Oh, he
He
had a
was
stomach
sick.
fired. But, you know, Max had his 33. And what did anybody else do? Where was Dylan Mitchell? You know, where was Terry and Leonard?
Dylan Mitchell was the invisible man. Dylan Mitchell missed a layup. He airballed a free throw. Dylan Mitchell has made some strides, Kirk. But they need him to sack
Yeah.
up and be better and to play bigger than he has. He
He's not been.
blended for the second straight game. He blended under double digit scoring in five of the last six games.
Did he have
And he
one rebound?
just, and he had one rebound.
Come on.
One rebound, and that was on a tip in where he just rose above the whole world and tipped it in. He's an electric athlete, Doug. Electric
Super.
athlete, but you got to be more than an athlete to win in this game. I didn't see grit. I didn't see determination from him. He's just too content to blend. You can't blend in the Big
Well,
12.
he doesn't have a great handle. He can't create his own shot. He doesn't have that jumper. Like you say, he's a super athlete. He's so much more athletic than Dessou, but Dessou's got basketball skills. You know, he can score inside, score outside, rebound. Dessou's crafty. And while we're taping this, there's no new news on his left knee sprain out of Texas. So they got an extra day till Saturday's Oklahoma game since they played on Monday. So that's a big help. You wrote your column about whether they were in or not. I think you and I both think they're probably in, but if Oklahoma, which is desperate, trying to hang on, be one of those ninth teams to get in the tournament, if they stumble and go 8-10, you still comfortable that Texas is in?
In this conference, yes, no doubt. I think they're still going to get in. Everybody agrees that the Big 12 is the best basketball conference
Definitely.
in college, and every
Definitely.
game is a tough game. And I'm glad you asked me that because I asked Rodney Terry
Yeah.
the same thing. Listen to our conversation from Waco.
Rodney, I'm at 8-9 in conference. You guys have you're in the best conference in America. Have you done enough? Does your resume speak enough to get into the tournament?
We play one of the hardest schedules in the country. Look at our schedule. Look at our body of work. We probably play more quad ones as much as anybody in the country. I mean, look at our schedule. Who you want us to play? You know, I mean, we played six ranked teams. First time in school history, we've done that. You know, and we stood toe to toe. You know, had we had a stumble here or there, you know, just like everybody in this league have. Yeah, we've had that. But we're one of the best teams in the country. We can play with anybody. We come into a hostile environment. I don't know what these guys are ranked today, but they needed every call that they could get today in terms of getting it done here at home. So, I mean, what else you got to do? You know, we're a good team. We can play with anybody on any given night.
And, Doug, and while we're at it, you know, Rodney's adamant they're in, and he's very passionate, and he's got to say that. I also asked Scott Drew the same question, and here's what Scott Drew had to say.
Hey, Scott, do you think Texas has done enough to get into the tournament?
Oh, yeah. That's not even close. So Big 12 hopefully is going to have 10 or 11 teams. I think there could be 7-win teams get into the tournament this year. What I really respect is across the nation, just hearing the media give kudos and respect to the Big 12, because we've been the best conference in the country now for 7-8 years. But to hear everybody acknowledge that, and I think it's a great tribute to every university. Just I was talking to one official, and after the game, and he's like, the Big 12, not tonight, but every game, wherever you're at, it's packed house, competitive game, probably comes down to the last possession, and that's how you feel as a coach. And I mean, because the schools pour resources into it, and the arenas are all so tough to win on the road. And even when I first got here, Roy Williams said, you got to win your home games because it's the toughest league in the country to win in the road.
Scott Drew thinks everybody's getting in.
Yeah, I mean, come on, stop it. I mean, 10 or 11, please. And here's what I'm going to say about 8 and 10. If they lose, I don't think they're going to lose. It'll be senior night on Saturday at Moody Center, and they got a bunch of seniors who's coming back. And just to plant the seed for future pods, who is coming back next year? You know, Shedrick, the transfer from Virginia, will be coming back. Kendall Weaver's coming back. Brock is not coming back for a 13th year.
Good Lord, no. Max's not coming back.
Max is out. D'Souza's out. Dylan Mitchell might be out. Who knows? Tyrese Hunter could be back in the portal or try his hand at the NBA. So it's, you know, Texas has kind of missed its window a little
bit. Don't say NBA with Tyrese Hunter.
No. I think he realized he's not an NBA player. And I think
he needs to keep staying in college and get as much free education and NIL money as he can get.
He should. But here's the thing with 8 and 10. And like I said, I think they're going to win Saturday and go 9 and 9, and that'll be plenty to get them in. They're still listed as ESPN's got them as 8 seed playing Mississippi State, and if they win, playing Purdue, the number 1 seed. CBS has them a 9 seed playing Boise State, and if they win, they're playing Tennessee. Who's the Tennessee coach? I can't remember. I'll have to look it up. But that sounds like that sounds like an intriguing matchup with our old buddy Rick Barnes. But, you know, if there are upsets in these conference tournaments, you just don't know. And if it comes down to somebody who maybe played a tougher non-conference schedule, you know, Rodney can say all he wants, you know, we're one of the best teams in the country. No, you're not, okay? If you're 8-9 seed, you're not one of the best. You need to be one of the top 3, maybe 4 seeds if you're one of the best teams in the country. Now, Arkansas got in at 8-10 in their conference last year, and they made it to the Sweet 16. So, you know, probably in at 9-9, but they need to take care of business.
You sound like you don't think they're going to get in there at 8-10.
No, they're going to get in. I think they're going to win Saturday, and I think they will get in 8-10. But, you know, don't leave that stuff to chance, you know. So, now you got to see a Texas team lose. So did I at the Dish Tuesday night.
Oh, my goodness.
I hate to say this.
Hold on. Before we get to baseball, shout out to Madison Booker. Big 12 Freshman of the Year. Co-player of the year. She's going to get some All-America votes this year. She's going to be a freshman All-American, probably National Freshman of the Year, she or Juju Watkins. Shout out to her having a great season. Vic Schaefer keeping that thing on the tracks with Rory Harmon going down. The Texas women are a solid number 2 seed, and I think they're going to make some noise in the tournament. But I will say this, Doug, I do believe that those guards that aren't Madison Booker, Shea Holly, Shaylee Gonzalez, They're going to have to bring more to the table offensively, or Texas is not going to be back in the Elite Eight. Madison can't do it on her own. And those big girls are good, but they're gonna run into some teams with some guards. And Duck, they don't make threes. Of the teams in the top 25, where do you think Texas ranks in three pointers made?
Probably last. I think they were 326
They're last. They're last.
Yeah. Well, what did they against OU? Was it like two threes?
They're a mid-range shooting team, and they dump it up. They're an old school basketball team, and I love watching old school hoops. But they're going to run into a team and that's going to make some threes. They're going to need Shea Lee and Shea Holly to make some threes. Madison will make a couple, but they're going to need those other guards to knock down a couple threes if they're going to make some real noise. So let's get to the baseball.
Horrible. Yes.
Horrible. Do we really need to talk about baseball, Duck?
Yeah.
Do we still have baseball in Austin? Do we still have that?
Such a hater.
They gave up 40 runs in four games. That's unheard of. When is the last time they gave up 40 runs in four games, Doug?
No, they got a four-game losing streak. First time in 5 years they've lost four in a row. And losing to elite teams, three of them are in the SEC, which doesn't bode well right now with Texas fit to join the SEC in July. So, they got to get this pitching sorted out, especially in the bullpen. They got a lot of iffy arms there. David Shaw throwing too many hittable pitches. You got some guys throwing like 85 out of the bullpen. That ain't going to get it done at this level. And Tanner Witt pitched a little better. Went 3-plus innings, struck out some guys. Looked a little better, but he's not there yet. Still has command problems.
I liked what I saw of Tanner Witt.
Oh, he showed a good
sign. He threw a ball by some guys. He's figuring some things out. LeBaron still throws too many pitches.
Too many.
He's always working from behind in the count. He's got to figure out how to get ahead. We need more 0-1 from LBJ. He can get to 0-1, 1-1, and then he can just overpower guys. But man, what a lost weekend! You got Porter Brown dropping fly balls. I don't know what was. You got Max Ballou out in right field booting a ball. They just looked rudderless, and it didn't look like a David Pierce coach team. And I know DP is really frustrated. And we talked to him in New Orleans, Doug. He was very excited about this season coming up. And we're not hitting a panic button here, guys. We're not, but because there's a lot of season left. But the Aggies were dominant. And that game, once the Aggies broke it open, they were getting it from all over. And the Longhorns, while a pretty accomplished team offensively, Doug, they've shown they can hit the ball. They've hit it. They've already hit 21, 22 home runs this season on pace to hit over 100. Right now, way too dependent on offense. They got to get better defensively, and that pitching staff's got to step up.
And it's got to start with LBJ on Fridays. If you don't win that Friday game with LBJ, then this. You're scrambling, I'm telling you, because Charlie Hurley's up and down. He has good stuff, but he hasn't been consistent either. I think Tanner Witt could eventually be that number two because of his
absolutely
stuff, and they need him to. But, they got to get the bullpen sorted out, and they got to get LBJ going deeper into games. They need to get, seven innings out of him. And like you said, the offense has been pretty darn good. It was great in Houston. They didn't lose because of the offense, but they didn't have any clutch hitting last night. They were 0-for-7 with runners in scoring position against A&M. Got overpowered at times, hit some balls hard, but they look like a team playing without confidence, and that's can ebb and flow with any team, football, basketball, baseball, whatever. And right now their confidence is low, and so they're going to need LBJ to go into Lubbock on Friday and set the tone for that series if David Pierce is going to turn this thing around.
I think DP can turn it around. I think it's a player-driven. It's got to be player-driven and not coach-driven. I think they have a lot of talent on this team. They're only 12 games in, Doc. They're 7-5.
Yes, but quarter of the season.
But you would have loved to have seen them beat the Aggies and stop that bleeding going into conference. And now they're going in with a lot more question marks than answers.
Yeah, A&M and LSU looks like teams that can win it all. They really can. LSU could definitely repeat. So there's no shame in losing to those. I mean, they lost 6-3 to LSU in Houston, but struck out 20 times. And they did not look good against A&M, which could be a national champion type team. They got power up and down the lineup, deep pitching, really good team Jim Schlossnagel has. But it's Texas baseball. You know, I don't think anybody should doubt them because they've been in this situation before.
What about that crowd, 8,060 people? The CDC going to have to add some seats to get up to those SEC numbers, Duck?
No, I think he will. I think he'll expand down the left field line before too long, and I can see that getting up to, you know, 12,000 to 14,000, I think, when they start playing with the big boys.
I love it. It's a dish. I still want them to get some grass at that dish, too.
And we do.
I do. Well, man, big podcast this week. We were all over the combine, all over Texas hoops, men and women, Texas baseball struggle. I think we've come to an end, and we're coming back. If God willing, we will be back here next week with more hijinks, more On Second Thought. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. That'll do it for episode 328 of On Second Thought. He's Kirk Bowles, and you're not. We'll see you next time.
See you, everybody.
You've been listening to On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com. Join Seth and Kirk every Thursday at lunch for a new episode. Archived episodes are available on iTunes and Google Android Play.